Hi, welcome to StanLib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within StanLib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And for this week, I think we need to focus on some of the US economic data, particularly the labor market reports that were released towards the end of last week, clearly impacted by the hurricane weather that the US experienced during the month of October. So maybe we can unpack that in a little bit of detail. In terms of the medium-term budget policy, we did put out a podcast towards the end of last week that hopefully tried to explain the essence of what the minister was announcing. We've also got a written document and some charts that are available on our website. So I'm not going to go through a discussion on the medium-term budget. There are various engagements that have been arranged between ourselves and National Treasury over the coming days. And if further developments are become evident, then we'll update that in the next week's podcast. So I think for the moment, for this week, we'll focus on the US labor market data and try and make sense of their weather-related employment numbers. As I mentioned in the introduction, the US released a wide range of labor market data during the course of last week. We had obviously the weekly jobless claims, we had the ADP, which is the private sector survey of employment, we had the US job openings data, and then the main labor market report that was released on Friday afternoon. The problem is that the data was heavily distorted by the severe weather that the US experienced during the month of October. A couple of hurricanes impacted the US towards the end of September and then during October, and that disrupted the normal flow of information that the Bureau of Labor Statistics would receive on what was happening in the labor market. The net result was that they reported that the US only created 12,000 jobs during the month. Now, the market was expecting an increase of 100,000 jobs, so that's way below expectations. But we do know, based on the information the Bureau of Labor Statistics revealed, is that the weather had a significant impact on distorting the outcome for the labor market. We also know that there wasn't a good response in terms of the surveys. Ordinarily, they would be expecting somewhere between about 55 and 60% of companies to respond to their surveys during any particular month. But the response rate fell closer to 40%, which is the lowest they've received since 1991. So clearly the low response rate together with the weather effect gives us a distorted reading of what's happened to the US employment. What wasn't distorted, fortunately, was the household survey of employment, which showed that the unemployment rate held steady at 4.1%. And I think that's the main takeaway from all of the data released last week, that the labor market, I think, remains intact. And while we don't know the exact specifics of what happened during the month, the fact that the unemployment rate was steady at 4.1 suggests that the labor market remains fairly robust. Overall, you would say that labor market conditions are softening. We see that in a range of indicators, but that softening is really a marginal easing of the strength of the labor market. What that means practically is instead of the US creating 250,000 or 300,000 jobs a month, it's probably realistically creating somewhere between 120,000 and 160,000 jobs a month, which is very decent and will keep the US economy growing at a decent pace. And there's nothing there to be concerned about. It doesn't suggest that the US economy is going into a recession or that suddenly the consumer is going to come under enormous pressure. So I think for me, I would look at the unemployment rate of 4.1%. I would also look at the GDP number for the third quarter that was also released last week, and that showed that the US economy grew by 2.8% in the third quarter. That was better than expected. The market was thinking growth of 2.6%. But what was important is the strength of consumer spending. It certainly contributed the bulk of the US economic growth, particularly consumer spending on services. And again, that would suggest that labor market conditions are solid and that the consumer's income is holding up, particularly now that inflation has moderated. So overall, a good set of US economic data but it does create a little bit of concern about the ability for the US to meet their inflation target. We got an update on core PC inflation, which remains sticky at 2.7%. That's just a little bit too uncomfortably high relative to their target of 2%. And if the US economy is continuing to grow at a solid pace, that will increasingly raise questions about whether or not the US can actually get inflation down to the 2% level. I think in the short term, it won't put the Federal Reserve off from continuing to cut interest rates. They've got a meeting this week. I think you'll see another 25 basis points cut. But as we go into next week, the combination of whoever wins the US election, together with the strength of the labor market and the progress towards 2%, will determine the path for interest rates. And at this stage, there will be some hesitancy about the ability for the US to get interest rates down meaningfully, especially if Trump wins. If Trump wins, there's the likelihood of import duties being raised and further fiscal spending, which would create some unease within the Federal Reserve about inflation being prolonged at above the 2% level. So a lot to focus on as we go through the US election and in the early part of next year. But for the moment, the US economy continues to grow at a solid pace. And I think overall, we can expect at least a couple more interest rate cuts before we get into the difficulty of what the US economic policy looks like during the course of next year. So that's all from me from this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up in a week's time. Cheers for now.